Moses, the first Passover. We begin by reading Exodus 11, verse 1 through 3. The Lord said to Moses, I will bring one more plague on Pharaoh and Egypt. After that, he will let you go from here. And when he lets you go, he will surely drive out all of you. Tell the people now to let every man ask from his neighbor, and every woman from her neighbor, articles of silver and articles of gold. And the Lord gave the people favor with the Egyptians. Moreover, the man Moses was very great in the land of Egypt, in the sight of Pharaoh's servants, and in the sight of the people. Do we notice here that the Egyptian people have great awe for Moses? And yet, though Pharaoh has defied the living God over and over again, they must keep on following him? Later we will read that many Egyptians went, however, away with Israel to follow their God and worship and serve him. Questions to discuss. Who puts governments in place over us? Should we obey them to have a peaceful life under God? Should we also obey them if they demand that we do things that God forbids? In 1 Timothy 2, verse 1 and 2, Paul says to us the following. Therefore I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and all who are in authority, so that we may live a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and reverence. And in Peter 1... See, I make mistakes too. And Peter writes in 1 Peter 2, verse 13 through 17, Therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme, or to governors, as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good, you, as free men under God, may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. Yet not using freedom as a cover to do evil, but as bond servants of God. Honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Questions to discuss. Should we obey God first when our government demands from us to do something wrong? Should we keep following a pastor who sins gravely without repenting? And should we be afraid of leaving him more than fearing our God? I've often noticed that. We continue this Bible reading in Exodus 11, starting verse 4 through 9. And Moses spoke to Pharaoh, So says the Lord, About midnight I will go out into the midst of Egypt, and all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die. from the firstborn of Pharaoh who sits on his throne, even to the firstborn of the female servant who is behind the handmill, and all the firstborn of the animals. Then there shall be a great cry throughout all the land of Egypt, such as was not like it before, or shall be like it again. But among the children of Israel, not even a dog will make as much as a barking or howling sound, because a puppy would have died. So that you may know that the Lord makes a difference between the Egyptians and Israel. And all your servants shall come to me and bow down, saying, Get out, and all the people who follow you. After that, I will go out. Then Moses left Pharaoh in great anger. And the Lord said to Moses, Pharaoh will not heed you, so that even more of my wonders may happen in Egypt. Questions to discuss. Why would it say that Moses left Pharaoh in great anger? Would you have liked it to have to tell Pharaoh that all first male in Egypt were going to die? Do you think that God would have pleasure in killing all firstborn boys? Do you think that God might have repented and not have killed the firstborn of Egypt if Pharaoh had asked forgiveness of God and let his people go? Could Pharaoh submit his will to God's will? Or was he forced to disobey? Do you realize how great God's mercy toward us is if you consider that he chooses us for salvation while he hardened Pharaoh's heart? Why did God harden Pharaoh's heart? We read on in Exodus 12, verse 1 through 13. The Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, This month shall be the first month of the year for you. Say to the whole assembly of Israel, On the 10th of this month every man shall take for himself a lamb, according to the house of his father, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for the lamb, let him and his neighbor take it according to the number of the persons. According to each man's need, you shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of less than a year old. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. Now you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of Israel shall kill their chosen lambs at twilight, and they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the houses where they eat it. And they shall eat the flesh on that night, roasted in fire, with unleavened bread and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Do not eat it raw, nor boiled at all with water, but roasted in fire, its head with its legs, and its intestines. You shall let none of it remain until morning, and what remains of it until morning you shall burn with fire. And you shall eat it with a belt on your waist, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. So you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. Because I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night, and I will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. Questions to discuss. Please discuss one question at a time, like usual, okay? What does the word Passover mean? Why would Passover become the first month of the year for Israel? Would it become the first month because life begins when God sets us free? Why would the lamb have to be a male lamb and not a female lamb? Do we realize that these lambs had to be perfect? Just like the ultimate lamb that could take away our sins, it also had to be perfect and without any blemish. Does God require punishment with death for sin? Can we pay that price? Who became the ultimate Lamb of God? Is it not sad that people had to keep that lamb inside their house for 4 days before killing it? Can you think of a reason why God would want it that way? Does God love His Son very much when He allows Him to die for our sins? Does God maybe want us to know He loves us as much as Jesus? He loves us equally much. Next follows in Exodus 12, verse 14, God's instruction to celebrate this deliverance every year as Passover for an everlasting feast. So this day shall be to you a memorial, and you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it as a feast by an everlasting ordinance. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. On the first day you shall remove leaven from your houses, because whoever eats leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that person shall be cut off from Israel. On the first day you shall assemble in a holy meeting, and on the seventh day you shall again assemble in a holy meeting. No work shall be done on those days at all, but that which everyone must eat. Only that may be prepared by you. So you shall observe the feast of unleavened bread, because on this same day I will have brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore you shall observe this day throughout your generations as an everlasting ordinance. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month at evening, you shall eat unleavened bread until the 21st day of the month at evening. For 7 days, no leaven shall be found in your houses, because whoever eats leavened bread, that same person shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel. Stranger or a native of the land, you shall eat nothing leavened. In all your dwellings you shall eat unleavened bread. Leaven is also called yeast, and it grows in dough in time, just like bacteria grow in milk, making it sour and, in the long run, bad. Or there are yogurt bacteria that make yogurt from milk. And every day when we bake bread from the dough we prepared yesterday, we keep a little bit of that leavened dough behind and put it in fresh dough we prepare for tomorrow. That way, bread can rise and become fluffy. But if we keep doing this forever, bacteria may begin making us sick, just like with milk. God protects his people with this law. Leaven has become a symbol for what sin does in our lives. If we do not remove sin either, and continually from our life, we will become more and more corrupt. Questions to discuss. Can you see God's loving care for you in wanting you to remove all leaven from your house once a year? And today, that especially means that you attempt to also remove all sins from your life? Can you see how important it is that you continually fight sin in your life? Can you be sorry for your sins while you do not try to get rid of them? Is it not sad that we always try to stop sinning but never succeed all the way? Will God forgive our sins if we are not sorry for them, and if we don't try to stop sinning? Is there not a good reason to always be humble and grieve that we cannot stop sinning? Are we not wretched, as Paul writes in Romans 7, verse 24 and 25? O wretched man that I am! Who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God who gave me Jesus Christ our Lord. Do you see now why it is so important for Israel to be willing to remove all leaven every year, to start making bread afresh without leaven, but also to start afresh without sin? Now we read Exodus 12, verse 21 through 28. Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said to them, pick out and take lambs for yourselves according to your families, and kill the Passover lamb. And you shall take a bunch of hyssop, dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two doorposts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out of the door of your house until morning, because the Lord will pass through the land to strike the Egyptians, and when he sees the blood on the lintel and on the two doorposts of your house, the Lord will pass over that door, and not allow the destroyer to come into your houses to strike you. And you shall observe this as an ordinance for you and your sons forever. It will come to pass, when you come to the land which the Lord will give you, just as he promised, that you shall keep this service. And it shall be, when your children say to you, what do you mean by this service? That you shall say to them, it is the Passover sacrifice of the Lord, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, while he struck the Egyptians and delivered our families. So the people bowed their heads and worshipped. Then the children of Israel went away and did so, just as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron. Questions to discuss. Can you sense the tension in people's hearts when they realize how important it is that they do exactly as they are told, or their oldest sons will die tonight? That makes me understand why, when they had heard this, they bowed their heads and worshipped. Question 2. How do you feel about the importance of obeying God exactly as he tells you? Is the Lord God, our Father, not extremely merciful to us? And now starts the story of God's terrible wrath on the Egyptians, as we read Exodus 12, verse 29 through 36. And it came to pass at midnight that the Lord struck all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh who sits on his throne, to the firstborn of the captive who was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of livestock. Then Pharaoh rose in the night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. Then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron by night and said, rise! Go out from among my people, both you and the children of Israel. Go, serve the Lord as you have said. Also take your flocks and your herds as you have said, and be gone, and bless me also. And the Egyptians urged the people as well, so that they might send them out of the land in haste, because they said, we shall all be dead. So the people took their dough before it was leavened, having their kneading bowls bound up in their clothes on their shoulders. Now the children of Israel had done according to the word of Moses, and they had asked from the Egyptians articles of silver, articles of gold, and clothing. And the Lord had given the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they granted them what they requested. And so they plundered the Egyptians. I feel now terribly impressed by what happened to these Egyptians. And it puts me in so much awe of our God and fear of our God. It makes me think of God's word in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26 through 31. Because if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation which will devour the adversaries. Anyone who has rejected Moses' law died without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. Of how much worse punishment do you think will be he thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing, and insulted God's Spirit of grace? We know him who said, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord." And also, "The Lord will judge his people." It is a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God. Questions to discuss. Do you feel the tension caused by our nature to always keep on sinning, even though in our heart we would love to keep obeying our God? Can you share with each other how you feel about this? Do you realize the terrible danger of willfully disobeying God after you have experienced His goodness through the Holy Spirit? In closing, I want to remind you of what Jesus said about being filled with His Spirit after we have removed sin from our lives. We find it in Matthew 12, verse 43 through 45. And Jesus said, "When an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places, seeking rest, but finds none. And then he says, 'I will return to my house from which I came.' And if he comes and finds it empty, swept, and put in order, he goes and takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself. And they enter and dwell there. And the last condition of that man is worse than the first." Let us pray right now, okay? Oh, Father God, have mercy on me, because you have called your names to be the Lord God, merciful and gracious. You are long-suffering, abounding in goodness and truth. You keep mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. Thank you for remembering that I am wretched in myself and incapable of honoring you all the way. I love you, and I pray that Jesus may sanctify and clean me more and more by the washing with your word, so that I may please you by becoming spotlessly clean without any conflicts anymore, in my heart. Thank you, Lord. Amen. End of the lesson.